I realised I'd written my notes in the garden at Adistana under bright sunshine, and I've written really small, so I'm now struggling to read it in here. So thank you very much for asking me to speak about what Triratna means to me. I've been involved in the Triratna movement for just over 3 years, so not very long, and I too had a bit of a gap after first being involved. But I'll start with where I started from. I was seeking what I felt to be a better way in life, particularly a better way to communicate and to share my life and the planet with others. Those that I know and love, as well as those that are less familiar and perhaps more challenging. And I particularly longed for a way to live together without damaging our world. I sought out meditation classes because I thought that would be a really good start, and I found one here led by Tara Dasa. I picked this really, and I can be completely honest about that, because it was convenient, a little bit like you had. It fell on the right evening, it was somewhere I could get to, somewhere to park, you know, very, very practical stuff. But within a very short time of attending the sessions, I was actually a little unsettled about how comfortable I'd felt in such an unfamiliar place. And my husband had come along to these sessions as well, a little bit press-ganged into it, I must admit. And I'd expressed this feeling of, you know, how comfortable and how at home I'd felt. And he'd said, maybe you were a Buddhist in a past life. And I replied, saying, maybe I'm a Buddhist in this one. And that was it, then I'm hooked. So since that time, I did the Buddhist, the meditation one and meditation two 6 week sessions. And then I had a bit of a gap. I meditated a bit, but I hadn't really established a regular practice. And a few months later, I experienced a life-threatening illness, which had a really profound effect on me and really heightened my sense for wanting to search for this better way that I'd been looking for. And I re-engaged with the Buddhist Centre. I attended the Buddhism One classes and explored the Dharma in more depth and sought to understand the Buddha's teaching by attending the classes, reading, listening to hours and hours of free Buddhist audio, because at that point I couldn't do very much else, and started to attend the drop-in sessions, usually a couple of times a week in the middle of the day, which was part of my sort of rehabilitation from what had been quite a debilitating illness. And I was started to discuss what I was learning with order members and mitras and other people here. And from this, I understood, and more importantly, I felt with absolutely every fibre of my being that this was actually the better way I'd been seeking, without a shadow of a doubt. When Ratna Ghosha asked me to do a short talk on what Triratna means to me, I was delighted. I then promptly started to overthink it and struggled to put it into words, because actually I find it very difficult to articulate what it actually means to me. So I thought, come on, pull yourself together. And I called upon what I'd do if I was asked to do a talk on anything else, which I do quite often. Before saying what something means, start by saying what it is. Well, that was equally tricky, so I struggled a bit with that too. So I took a further step back and reflected on my journey so far. I also returned to some source material for inspiration. And when I was at Adistana last week, I'd taken along my diary from the first retreat I'd attended at Tara Loka, which was about 18 months after doing the after first coming to the meditation classes. I'm not a great journal writer, but that particular retreat, I'd written quite a lot. And the memory of writing this particular bit is really vivid. For those of you that have been to Tara Lake, you'll know exactly where I was sitting. I was in the garden facing the pond, and the warmth of this sun-baked wall behind me was as pretty much as hot as the sun that was coming down on my face. There's this giant pink and white fuchsia on one side and an equally enormous lavender on the other side, both absolutely buzzing with bees. It was my first experience of silence, so the bees were really, really loud. So this memory, I can smell it while I'm talking about it now, in fact. And I'd read and subsequently quoted in the journal some words by Sangharakshita from a talk that he gave in, I think it's pronounced Worli, in Bombay. I'm not sure when it was from. But interestingly, I had read that and I'd written these, which I'll read to you in a moment. And then at Adistana last week, I happened to read the exact same passage. So I thought, well, I better put that in my talk then, hadn't I? But actually, it was so profound that I'd copied it out carefully into that journal. And he said, Buddhism can be understood and practiced anywhere in the world because Buddhism addresses itself to individual human being regardless of race, nationality, caste, sex or age. Buddhism is therefore a religion of man. He went on to say, this is one of the reasons that I'm a Buddhist. I believe that humanity is basically one. I believe that it's possible for any human being to communicate with any other human being, to feel for any other human being, and to be friends with any other human being. This is what I truly and deeply believe. This belief is part of my own experience. It's part of my own life. It's part of me. I cannot live without this belief, and I would rather die than give it up. To me, to live means to practice this belief. He further said, it's a matter of the way I am, the way I exist. It is the way I naturally function in the world. Although I'd not known anything about the Triratna movement or its founder Sangharakshita when I first attended those meditation classes that were at a convenient time on a convenient day. This speech and discussing it with others confirmed that I'd found the path to the better way that I'd been seeking. Sangharakshita's words, humanity is basically one, was my belief too. And he was paving this path right ahead of me that I could follow. Having studied and personally experienced many Buddhist traditions, Sangharakshita got beneath the cultures of these different branches of the faith and distilled them into what we now know as the Triratna movement. Unlike other Buddhist traditions, at the heart of Triratna movement is the centrality of going to refuge to the three jewels, the Buddha, the Sangha, the Dharma and the Sangha. Commitment to going to refuge to the three jewels is primary and lifestyle is secondary. Reflecting on this, I know that Triratna is not a bowl of cherries representing the nice bits that of the other Buddhist traditions that Sangharakshita happened to like, but the pure essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Dharma, with all the robes and paraphernalia removed. The central importance of commitment to going for refuge to the three jewels enables me and my lifestyle to be an expression of going to refuge rather than trying to balance my Buddhist life with my other life. It's all one and the same thing. The Dharma, I feel, flows through me in everything I do. I'm putting the Dharma into action and delighting in the ripple effect that it has, in the ripple effect of doing so. For me, the positive impact of putting the Dharma into action has been immeasurable and can be clearly seen in the relationships that I have with friends and family and colleagues and the way they behave with others. And I'll give you an example of this that comes from the very beginning of the meditation classes. When I first learnt the Metta Bhavana practice, and you have to think of the difficult person, usually that's not a difficult person to find, is it? But I had one person popped into my mind very clearly, and it was my stepson, my husband's son, who's a difficult young man. I'd always had a very, very difficult relationship with him, and so had my husband. And so he was the focus of that difficult person for ages. In fact, he still is on occasion. And I look back and think, actually, I had such an aversion to this lad as he was then, and he's now a young man. And if I look back and see the difference that focusing on him as part of that practice has had, has been really profound. He's still a difficult young man, but my response to that and the way I treat him has not only had an effect on my relationship with him, but on my relationship with my husband, my husband's relationship with him, and I believe his relationship with other people as well. And I never said that he's the focus of my Metta Bhavana to anybody, but that is, to me, a really strong evidence that I've put this into practice well. Thinking of friends and colleagues and such, the term friendship brings me on to the Sangha. One of the most striking things I noticed as I began to interact with order members, in fact, I'm still struck by it now. Even today, the conversations I've had today at lunchtime is still something that pulls me up a little bit, is the joy in the friendships that I witness between them. There seems to be this deep connection and warmth that I've never witnessed, maybe beyond the very close relationship I have with my four older brothers. That's the only thing I can liken it to, and it isn't quite the same as that for sure. I understand this to be spiritual friendship. And a year into the Mitra studies, I'm developing such friendships. I've returned, as Ratnagosha said, from my first Going for Refuge retreat on the six guidelines. And on this retreat, I deepened existing friendships and developed some new ones. The concept of spiritual friendship was a focus for some of our study on retreat, and I've come to appreciate that it seems to be the golden thread that connects people to form the network that is the Triratna movement, the Sangha. This network of spiritual friendship happens on a small scale in our study group. So in my Mitra study group, in that small group that we had on retreat that we'd never met each other before, by the end of it, this golden thread is intertwining between us and with the order members that led the group. And it happens on a wider scale in our Sangha at a centre here, and a national and international Sangha. It's what makes the Triratna movement greater than the sum of its parts. And one of the things that occurred to me, and we discussed on retreat, was that we are essentially one another's conditions. And that phrase has sort of stuck with me, and I've thought, dwelt on it, and felt actually we are. That's exactly how it works. So far, I've only just embarked on joining this network by developing spiritual friendships amongst my Buddhist peers in a horizontal plane. But conversations with the Dharmacharanis on retreat has boosted my confidence to develop spiritual friendships on a vertical plane with those who have been practicing for longer and are more experienced in their exploration of the Dharma. The sheer joy and exhilaration of having a life committed to the Dharma that I see amongst order members is totally inspiring to me. And I hope that I can inspire future generations in a way, in the same way. And that essentially is what Triratna means to me. Thank you.